Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, and welcome to Secrets to Creating Wealth, Module 4. One of the quickest ways to go from having a lot of money to having little to no money is by not using smart spending techniques. And we see this from time to time with people who win the lottery, for example. They get a lot of money, and then a few years later, we find out that they're broke. And it's always a mystery. When you hear about that initially, it's baffling. How did they go from having all of that money, millions of dollars, to being completely without money? In fact, in some cases, they're in a worse situation than they were financially before they even won. Why is that? How is that even possible? If you have that much money, wouldn't you put some of it aside? Wouldn't you take a large chunk of it and just put it aside as some kind of security? Wouldn't you get a financial planner, a financial advisor, and create a money plan around that money? But we hear from time to time stories about people who won the lottery or inherited money, who had a lot of money, and then they lost it. They squandered it. They gambled it. They invested it unwisely. Something happened, or a number of things happened, and they don't have any money. But we also hear about celebrities who are doing very well, and the next thing you know, they're in drug rehab. They've started using drugs excessively. In some cases, it's a prescription drug or a number of prescription drugs. In some cases, it's an illegal drug or a number of illegal drugs or a combination of the two, and they're in rehab. And of course, it becomes international news. How can someone who has achieved so much suddenly be devastated like that? Why would they allow that to happen? Why would they start doing that? If they have all of that money and all of that fame and all of that success, why are they in a drug rehab place? Why have they even started using drugs? And we look at those situations and we think, that's really odd. Because, of course, the first thing we think is that if that was me, that wouldn't happen. But one thing that people fail to realize is that some people have within them an internal thermostat that as soon as it gets to a certain level, they're uncomfortable. They're not comfortable with what they have. As soon as they get to a certain level of fame, for example, they start to sabotage it. As soon as they get to a certain level of money, for example, they start to sabotage it. Some people do it in a relationship. They get to a certain level of comfort and they start to sabotage it. Why is that? Are they just crazy? Do they not like to have good things in their lives? No. What's happening is there has been some pain linked to it in the past. For example, in the case of celebrities, sometimes, this is not always the case, but sometimes what happens is that they don't feel comfortable receiving all of that love and admiration from others. And so they start to sabotage it. They start to look for ways to mess it up. And this happens at a subconscious level. They start to slowly drain the celebrity credits they have, if you will, until it becomes a deficit. Until people actually look at them and think, oh my goodness, that's really unfortunate. Now, there are other reasons why that happened. Sometimes they've just had an ongoing drug challenge, which has just become news recently or just got out of hand recently. Sometimes they do it for attention. There are other reasons. But one of the main reasons it happens is because they don't feel comfortable where they are. Look at people in relationships, people who sabotage relationships, people who have a great relationship and then they cheat, for example. People who have a great relationship and then they stop paying attention to their spouse. People have a great relationship and then they don't want it anymore. And they don't know why they don't want it. In many of those cases, it's because they link pain with continuing on. They think, well, at some point this is going to fall apart. Or at some point it's going to become boring. Or at some point they're going to stop loving me, so I better stop loving them. They link pain to it, so they sabotage it. And this happens at a subconscious level. It's not as if they make a conscious decision to do that. At a subconscious level, the thermostat starts to kick in. They start to become uneasy with it, thinking that pain is going to come next. And so they start to undo it to avoid the pain. People do that with money also. Now, not everyone has this. Obviously, there are people who are very successful in relationships. There are people who are very successful celebrities. Over a long period of time. There are people who are successful financially over a long period of time. So this doesn't happen to everyone, but you will see it happen on occasion. And I want to make sure that you're not going to be one of those casualties. You've got to clear your limiting beliefs about money if you want to have money. You've got to reset that thermostat. A thermostat is set so at a certain point, if the temperature in the room or whatever you're in becomes uncomfortable, either too low or too high, the thermostat will kick in and will change the temperature. That's what happens with some people with money. They see their bank account building to a certain point and they become uncomfortable. They see the money coming in building to a certain point and they become uncomfortable. They think, okay, the next thing that happens is some sort of pain because I'm going to be considered too wealthy, because my parents said that having too much money is wrong. Or the famous verse in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people interpret that as money is evil, when actually it says the love of money is the root of all evil. So they start to think that money is bad, that money is evil. And so they start to drain their money. Or they start to mess up opportunities that could lead to more money. This is what happens if you have not prepared yourself for wealth. You can have all of the money in the world coming in, and you can still find a way to mess it up if your thermostat is not adjusted. So sometimes people in this situation will look for ways that they think will fix the problem. They start to learn about how to spend money and how to not spend money and how to manage money and so forth, when actually none of that is actually going to help, because their subconscious mind is still running this program that's going to undermine all of that. So first and foremost, I want you to clear your limiting beliefs about money. I want you to let go of your limiting beliefs about it. And the way you do that is by just realizing the truth. If you're in this category, then you have limiting beliefs about money. Now, I don't want you to make up any limiting beliefs if you don't have any. Perhaps you're one of those lucky people who just realizes that you can make as much money as you want and it's okay. But most people have an internal thermostat and it's set early on in life. Maybe it's set by what you heard from your parents that you're worth. Isn't that interesting? That you heard what you're worth from your parents. They probably didn't say, okay, you're worth X amount of money per year, but somehow you put those pieces together and you figured it out that that's what you're worth. And when I say you heard it from your parents, sometimes parents, although they mean the best for their children, sometimes parents instill in us certain ideas by talking to us in a certain way about our possibilities, about what we should be, and other concepts like that, that get an idea in our head about what we're worth. And we start to put together a number in our heads about what we're worth. And I want to tell you that that number is arbitrary, meaningless. It's only in your head. It's all in your head. It's the only place it exists. But you make it your reality when you start acting on it, when you start acting as if it's true. Nothing related to money is true or untrue. These are all concepts. You make them true or untrue by taking actions or not taking actions. Everything you think about money, about the amount of money that you can make in your life, is neither true nor false. It's completely arbitrary. It's just in your head. Think about it. What if you had a twin? Maybe you do have a twin, but what if you had a twin? Same upbringing, same education, but your twin thinks differently than you. Your twin thinks that there are no limits, limit-free. Limitless. Financially, your twin believes that he or she can create as much money as he or she wants in their lives. And let's say that you, just in our example, that you feel differently, that you feel that there are limitations, that you're worth X amount of money per year, that you should have X amount of money in the bank. You've got numbers in your head. This is what you're worth. You don't say it like that, but ultimately that's what it amounts to. Your twin goes off and becomes abundantly wealthy. Keeps making more and more money, keeps finding these lucky opportunities. That's the way you look at it. Keeps meeting these people who create opportunities in his or her life and keeps moving up the ladder financially. Whereas you are somewhat stagnant and you start to look at it as, oh, my lucky twin. Wow. He or she just had all the right breaks. They had all the opportunities. They had all the chances. Not realizing that you had every opportunity that your twin had. Every opportunity, not in exactly the same way, but every opportunity category was available to you just like it was available to your twin. Same upbringing, let's say even the same education, but completely different outcome financially. The only difference And this is an important difference. The only difference between you and your twin is that your twin has no limits, limit-free, limitless. I don't like to use the word no or not, but you know what I mean. Limitless, without limits, free from limits. You, on the other hand, adopted some limits. You put together a logical plan. You have logical thoughts. And see, this is the challenge. Everything makes sense. For example, I make this amount of money. It's logical. It makes sense. That's the big challenge. When things are logical and they make sense, they can become limiting. And I've struggled with this in business. I have business partners. Now, I'm in my own corporation, but I deal with business partners, as I call them, in other corporations. And through working together, we do things in business. And one of my business partners, who is a dear friend of mine, a wonderful person, has a logical way of looking at things. He has a way of looking at things that reads like this. A plus B equals C. That's how he looks at the world. That's how he looks at business. A plus B equals C, for example. Very straightforward, basic concept. The way I look at business is like this. And you have to visualize this. A, with energy around it. Think about energy coming out of the letter A. You draw the letter A and there are lines coming out of it, for example. Those lines represent energy. Plus B, with energy coming out of it, equals blue sky. Okay. Now it sounds odd, doesn't it? A with energy coming out of it plus B with energy coming out of it equals blue sky. That's the way I look at things. That's the way I look at business. And what does that mean? Well, for my business partner, what it means, A plus B equals C, is if you start with ingredient A and you add ingredient B to it, then you get result C. A, for example, can be a product. B can be advertising. C can be a certain amount of money, a set amount of money. For me, A is not a product or anything set in stone. A is possibility, an energetic possibility that can be anything at any time. It leaves everything wide open. B is some other energy or a group of people or anything, really. And when you combine the two, even though it's not even two at this point, it could be thousands, because each one can represent thousands of things and concepts and ideas and the energy of individuals and so forth, you get blue sky, which is wide open and could be anything. In a blue sky, you can fly across the world. In a blue sky, you can sit there and just enjoy the blue sky. In the blue sky, you can write something on the sky. In the blue sky, you can imagine anything you want. And I've had times in my life where I felt down and out, and I looked up at the blue sky and I thought, I can write anything I want on that sky. I'm going to start writing. That's the way I look at things. And so when we make a business plan, we really have to butt heads a little bit, and we have to respect each other's point of view. I realize that he brings the practical side of things, and I respect that. And he realizes that the concepts that I bring to the table are so out there and so open for expansion that it leaves open infinite possibilities. You've got to have that. You've got to have that. You've got to let go of your ceiling. You've got to let go of your limitations. And you've got to embrace the blue sky concept or space or a rainbow or however you look at it. If the answer is C or something set or the answer is a number, you're going to have limitations. If your formula is A plus B equals C, I invite you to let go of that, because that is a limitation. Put ingredients in there that aren't limited. A is limited. A is A. You wake up, A is A. You go to bed, A is still A. It hasn't changed. But if you put energy around it, then A is something. There is something there, but it's also dynamic. That's what the energy indicates in my mind. It's dynamic. It could be a lot of things. It could change, in fact. A is a category, but it's not limited. A is perhaps a product, but it's not just one product. It's not limited. It can change over time. And at any time, it can involve numerous products. I've created somewhere around 7,000 hypnosis recordings. So if we look at products as just A, then I probably would have limited it. I probably would have said, okay, I've created 100 and I'm done. That's A. But A is this number that keeps on growing. If A is products, A keeps growing. Started out as 1. Now it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 and still growing. B, in the formula, can be the people or events that you bring into your life. If B is, for example, a support staff that you have, that you eventually have, eventually you'll have people who help you with your dream. But if B is set in stone as certain people or certain positions, then it's just going to stay as B. If B is set as B with energy around it, in my example, use what works for you, but for me, that's what works. If B is written in your mind with energy around it, then it's open to possibility. It's open to change. It can be any situation at any time. And so recently, I've had the good fortune of being on TV, for example. But if my B, if my opportunity, for example, let's say that A is products and B is letting people know about products and services and me in general. If B was set as certain things, like let's say yellow page advertising or something like that, something kind of old fashioned, then it wouldn't be open to things like being on TV. It wouldn't be open to things such as going to different parts of the world and doing talks and so forth. But since B has energy around it, it's open to all of those things. It's open to anything at any time, as long as it's moral and it helps people. So I want you to let go of your limiting beliefs, and I want you to adopt new and powerful beliefs. Now, once you've done that, you can get down to brass tacks. You can get down to making smart choices in money. And I want you to start putting careful thought into each purchase. Now we're getting back down to everyday practicality. So you've let go of your limiting beliefs. Now I want you to put these smart money choices into place because now they're going to make sense for you once you let go of your limiting beliefs. So put careful thought into each purchase you make. Each purchase must have a positive purpose. Ask yourself when you're making a purchase if it's going to contribute in a positive way to your financial well-being. Realize that buying something is not going to make you feel better in the long run or make any challenges that you have disappear. All you're doing is buying something. So if you buy something out of compulsion and you think, oh, a new car is going to make me feel better, realize there's probably something underlying that. There's probably something missing that you're not addressing. This is going to help you control those impulses. And I want you to focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Let go of focusing on what you don't have and just focus on what you have. Set a long-term goal, but let go of obsessing about things that you don't have that you wish you had. And make sure that you enjoy whatever you spend your money on. Let go of guilty spending. That's the worst thing that can happen when it comes to money is guilty spending. You buy something, you think, oh gosh, I feel so bad that I bought that. Maybe I don't deserve it and so forth. Let go of that. You either buy it or you don't. If you do buy it, then you embrace it. You follow through. You commit to it. It's okay. If you're going to feel uneasy about it, don't buy it. And always invest in yourself and the things that will drive you forward toward your goals. There's a cartoon I saw once where a salesman comes up to somebody on a battlefield and they're fighting this battle with bows and arrows. Really old school battle that they're having. I think that's the way the cartoon was set up. Anyway, they're using some kind of primitive way to battle each other. And a salesperson comes up to a person on one side of the battlefield with a Gatling gun, you know, an old-fashioned machine gun. You crank it and it shoots out a lot of bullets one after the other. And the salesperson is trying to convince the person on the battlefield to buy this. And the person on the battlefield is essentially saying, I don't have time for that. When actually, it would have helped tremendously. Sometimes we hesitate to make purchases because we think that they're frivolous when actually they would save us a lot of time in the long run. Getting a better computer, for example. How long are you waiting every day for your computer to load up, to boot up? How much is your time worth? Does it take just a few seconds every day? So take a few seconds multiple times a day, that time adds up. Sometimes making a purchase, which may seem excessive, can actually save you time and make you money in the long run. So be open to possibilities that are powerful. Rather than making purchases based on fear, make purchases that are going to make you happy. Sometimes things that are going to make you happy are things that are going to contribute to your financial future, to your financial well-being. So be open to them. And finally, let go of other people's limiting beliefs about spending, whatever they are. If you're talking to someone and they are not where you want to be, then why are you listening to their advice about spending or about not spending, about spending habits in general? Start focusing on solid advice that's going to get you where you want to be. And that comes by associating with people who are where you want to be. You're not going to necessarily spend like a wealthy person if you're not wealthy, and you're going to be able to make more appropriate choices. Join me in the next module as we talk about visualizing your wealth, getting you really focused on what you want and bringing it into the present by putting it in your mind. That's going to anchor you to a powerful future. So join me in the next module.